Welcome to the UniConnect podcast. We're here to keep you connected to all things university. And welcome to episode 8, and today we are talking about university interviews. Hi there, Charlotte, how are you doing?
Hi there, Claire, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all's well, thank you very much. So, interviews, do you remember your interview at university? Did you have one?
So, I didn't actually have an interview. I think the majority of university courses which ask for interviews tend to be kind of more competitive ones, so where they've got that kind of extra element to the admissions process. So a lot of science-based courses, art and drama-based courses. So for sociology, which is what I studied, I didn't need an interview. Did you have one for your course?
I did, yeah, which I guess because my course was a practical course, as in it was creative, they wanted to see obviously some of the work, creative work that I've been working on. So I had to prepare a portfolio, go to an interview, which was just some short informal questions, but I remember it feeling like a really big deal, really. And that's maybe because I hadn't had a lot of experience in the course that I was going on to study. So I think I was quite nervous about what was going to be expected, you know, of me in these interviews, which my advice looking back would have been to reach out to the university and ask them and check what it was that they were definitely wanting from me. And there's also so much information on the websites to help you prepare answers to the kind of standardised questions that they're going to ask you. But it was a fantastic experience, actually, because it did enable me to look and see the university. And actually, it really helped me decide which university I ended up going to. So I had my heart set on Birmingham University. I was going to Birmingham, went to the interview, and no, it just wasn't the right fit for me. So I ended up going to Huddersfield, which was a smaller university and nothing like Birmingham. And that was all, you know, found out and realised because I went to an interview. So it did have benefits for me personally as well. So, yeah, there's two sides of the coin to interviewing, I'm sure. So we're talking to a few people about the different types of interview today. Charlotte, do you want to introduce them for us?
Yes, so we're kind of going down two different paths today. We're firstly going to be interviewing Rob, who works at Leeds Beckett University, and he's going to be having a chat with us about how you can prepare for health-related interviews, so, for example, physiotherapy and dietetics. We're then going to be chatting with Jenny, who works at Leeds Arts University. She's going to be focusing on interview and portfolio processes for arts-related courses. So if anyone's listening right now who's thinking of applying for either a health-related course or an art course, please stay tuned to hear more. Hi Rob, thank you for joining us today. So today we're going to take a particular focus around health-related courses and the interview process for those courses, particularly physiotherapy and dietetics. So can we start off by discussing why these courses actually need an interview?
Dietetics and physiotherapy have interviews simply because, like a lot of healthcare courses, they have to. It's part of the awarding body's requirements, and they have to fulfill those criteria. So these interviews, I guess, they're designed in a number of different ways. It's not a question of just about your academic ability, but it's do you reflect the services well? And so when you have these interviews, you'll find that it will very often, in fact, nearly always be a member of staff from the university and a professional from that field. Very rarely there may well be a student involved, but normally, so then you've got the professional practice elements as well as those that are required for the academic point of view.
That's great, thanks Rob. So these courses are very competitive. you can only offer a certain number of places, normally due to the fact that you only have a certain amount of NHS placements. So what can make you stand out as a student applying for this course, coming into the interview? What can make you stand out above the rest?
How do you make yourself stand out? Well, I think the reality with all of these things, it's about the honest answer. We see a lot of people that are coached and they tend to play for the safer answer. What we really want to know, the point of any interview, is your grades will tell us you're smart enough to start, your interview will tell us you're going to finish and you're going to succeed. And don't forget, there's only finite resources within the NHS. And so we need to make sure that the people who come forward understand really what they're getting themselves into. So it's not all happy clappy. And yes, you may want to help people. Why wouldn't you? You know, that's why we go into this particular fields. But what does that mean? What does the reality of that look like? So, you know, why do you want this job? Well, actually, there's always going to be a need for physiotherapists. And we're in a world in a state of flux at the moment. Dietetics, particularly, are essential going forward as a community. And we see how people are responding in different ways to diet and other forms, how they live. So for me, it's that honesty. Now, honesty comes from confidence. Confidence comes from knowledge. The more you know, the more you understand about what you're getting yourselves into, be it through understanding the course literature, possibly having short telephone interviews with dietitians or physiotherapists, maybe you haven't even been through the physiotherapy or dietetics world yourself. The more you know about it, the more confident you are about answering these questions. We can tell an interview when people are doing things on a hunch and they're just throwing answers into the mix. That's not what we need. What we need are people who get it, who understand what they're getting themselves into, and therefore will give us honest answers rather than something that's pre-prepared and safe, because it's a difficult world and we need to make sure that you've got the skills, but also that you've got the palate to be able to succeed in that particular industry.
Fantastic. So I guess the main thing really there is being prepared and going into the interview, as you said, with confidence and as good an understanding as possible of the course, of the career, and as you said, of what you're getting yourself into really when you get onto the course. So leading on to that then, Rob, what is the best way of preparing for the interview and what can candidates expect?
Yeah, so the best way to prepare would be to read the information that you get sent in the first instance. Lots of people, they skim things. There's going to be detail in there. So if we're going to be doing these interviews, and many of them that you'll be facing will be online, we're going to be giving you the details to make sure that you've got access to those interviews. So let's look at the online in the first instance. If I was you, I'd be making sure that you're comfortable with the placement of your microphones and your computer, that you understand that your bandwidth is going to be okay for the day. It's all the little nuts and bolts that can, if you don't get right, can kick your confidence away a little bit anyway. So that would be the first thing I'd make sure I'd prepare to do. I've got a space that I'm comfortable in. I like to stand up when I'm doing a lot of these things because the way your breathing goes, have you got an opportunity? It's about what's right for you, because actually very, very rarely in an interview do you have the ability to control those environmental factors. So at least you're going to get that. Now, if you're really lucky and you get called to a personal interview by certain universities, there'll be maps there and they'll give you the instructions. So you obviously want to check your travel arrangements. But I think that's going to be the exception rather than the rule. And I think we're mainly looking at interviews online now simply because, you know, it's more cost effective for you. It's better for the environment. There's, you know, and of course, beyond all the various other challenges that we face. Either way, we will detail to you what we want you to be discussing with us. We're not going to give you the scene questions for these particular courses, but say for something like the physiotherapy courses, we want to make sure that you've got the values that align to the NHS constitution. So therefore, you know what the NHS constitution is and what it's there for and how you fit with it. Whereas with dietetics, you know, do you know what a dietitian actually does? And what kind of skills and attributes are required for this kind of healthcare professional? So those are the things you'll expect to get. So really have a little think about those answers. But either way, what you're going to find above all else, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is that knowledge of the subject area. So if we are quite explicit to you that you need to know the NHS constitution and you don't, that's going to show up big style in terms of an interview.
Thank you, Rob. I think that's really important, useful information for anybody listening who's preparing to go on to a health-related course, to interview for a health-related course, to know. So thank you for that. You kind of alluded to it already, but will most interviews be online this year? And if they are in person, do you normally offer financial support for those who are concerned about making it to an interview? For example, transport costs?
Yeah, I think most interviews, well, in fact, all interviews will probably be online this year. I'm actually, personally, and this is just a personal opinion, I think most interviews for universities going forward will probably be online, because if you look at, for example, dietetics or physiotherapy, where there's somebody from the profession who's there with you, actually you're more likely to get willing partners and participants being the second person on interview if it's online. So don't be surprised if going forward a lot more of these things happen. But I would certainly anticipate for the rest of this academic year, interviews for selective courses such as these will be online. So that's just something I always recommend. It's worth having a practice with, have a little Zoom call or a Teams call or a Google call with a friend, and just get yourself used to that, because I think that's how it's going to go. So naturally there's going to be some stumbling and some overlapping and people speaking over each other. That's just the way things have been this year, but that certainly would seem to be how the die is cast this year. In terms of when we do go back to normal, there are various examples of people who might require financial support. And I know certain universities who are further away, for example, will encourage someone from Leeds to have that. What I would say is if you're in that position where you can't financially make it to an interview, now obviously as Leeds City College and where Leeds Beckett, we would find that we would have to discuss that with individuals. But I would always say anybody who's struggling financially at university, has got any concerns, should always speak to the university and make sure that we can support you in the best possible way. So never be afraid of asking that question.
Yes, thank you, Rob. For anybody who's concerned about the financial aspects of university, particularly in regards to an interview at this point, you are welcome to always speak with the university and they will always point you in the right direction. You can, of course, also speak to your tutors in college who will make you aware of any financial support you might not already be aware of. In regards to interviewing online, obviously, we're all building up more skills and more knowledge when it comes to communicating online at the moment. Any questions about that, you're again welcome to speak with the university, or you can always contact myself and Claire if you have any specific interview related questions. So thank you so much, Rob, this has been really useful. Before you go, the most important question: what did you used to cook at university?
Yeah, I could not cook when I left to go to university. I genuinely didn't know how to make scrambled eggs. I discovered that you could cook potato waffles in a toaster, so that was nice. And it's just got really fat, to be honest, because I couldn't cook. So particularly, you know, those who look at dietetics, I'd like to think you're a bit more comfortable with food. I guess at the end of the day, I became very good at creating various pastas, and I didn't eat enough salads, and I didn't eat enough of the other things, but I went cheap and easy, and I regret that, because I should have learned to cook. And it's one of those things, whenever I do my parent talks, I always say, make sure you know how to cook. Because when I got some money, I'd go for something bizarre like smoked salmon and then just live off, I'm a celebrity afterwards, with rice and beans, and obviously nothing more graphic than that. But yeah, no, I was rubbish. Mr. Brain's faggots and stuff like that. Absolutely vile when I look back at it now. So yeah, do learn to cook before you go to university if you can't.
Amazing, thank you, Rob. I do hope maybe any budding dietitians out there might be able to cook the odd nutritious meal, but who knows, if you sat here listening thinking, oh, I'm really not sure what I'm going to make at university, then maybe now is the time to start thinking about it. So moving on, we're now going to be interviewing Jenny from Leeds Arts University. Again, with a focus on kind of the extra admissions requirements, so interviews and portfolios. So stay tuned to listen to my chat with Jenny next. Hi Jenny, thank you for joining us today. Before we get started, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jenny Scannell. I'm a progression support worker at Leeds Arts University. So I do outreach with lots of different schools, and I'm running quite a few courses with year 12s and 13s to help them prepare for going to arts university at the moment. I have been to university twice, so I have been through the application process and understand what a lot of you are going through at the moment. So I hope some of the information I give you here is useful, and please go to our website or get in touch with our admissions team if you have any other questions about anything at all.
Fab, so for those of you who don't already know, Leeds Arts University is a specialist university which covers all sorts of art-related courses, from textiles and graphic design to animation, illustration, fashion, photography, and much more. The majority of the courses all require applicants to send in samples of their work. So can we start off, Jenny, by covering just a bit more information really on what the university is looking for in these samples?
Okay, so the reason why universities look for samples of work, also known as a portfolio, is to see your potential for the course that you're applying to. So all universities will ask for a different kind of portfolio samples of work, i.e. the numbers of pieces of work you're submitting, whether it's a digital or a paper one. But the idea overall is that they're wanting to see the things that you've been up to, the skills that you've got, and your potential for, you know, achieving on the course. So in the majority of visual arts portfolio, drawing is always going to be important, especially for courses like fine art, textiles, illustration, comic and concept art. So drawing often forms some of the basis of a portfolio. Also, you know, research skills and how you develop a project are really important. So you don't need to put in every single final piece you've ever made. It's often about, you know, how you've developed a brief and how you've thought of ideas as you've gone through and how experimental you've been. And another thing that's really good to show in your samples of work are experimentation with different processes or mediums. So it might be things like printmaking or digital work or mixed media or, you know, a whole variety of different things that, you know, will be particular to what you've been studying and what you want to do in future. But showing that you've been experimenting is really, really good. So that is the overall aim of why they're asking to see samples of your work. So go back and think, you know, about what you have there and think about, have you got things like drawing, development of work and the range of materials in there.
Great, thanks Jenny. So how do you recommend making yourself stand out in the application and in your portfolio?
So I've got a few top tips for you to make your samples of work stand out, but also to make your application stand out. So I'll go backwards and start with your application. You know, it's important to have a strong personal statement. And for whatever course you're applying for, you know, think about the kind of things that you might be on that course content and give examples of how you've been working towards those, or little flavours of that, you know, just little hints. Do talk about, you know, your inspirations. We want to know about that you're a living, breathing artist who's really passionate about subjects, so try and get that written down in your personal statement. We know it's short, but you know, try and get all those feelers out there so we can see what you've been doing. If you're doing extra things in your spare time that are creative as well, that's amazing, as well as any kind of work experience or voluntary activity, whether it's creative or not, all adds to your application, because it can show things like team working skills or other things that you might not have had a chance to experience elsewhere. So that's what would be really good in a good personal statement. I guess one thing that I would add to it as well is, you know, give examples of things as well, because anyone can make a statement and say, I can do this. If you can back it up with an example, that's amazing. And then how to make your samples stand out. Well, like I was previously saying in the other answer, you know, you want show good quality work. But it can be experimental, it can be unfinished if it's a good conversation starter, it can be 3D, but you'll have to take high quality photos of it from all aspects. To make your work stand out digitally, you need it to be presented really well, so use Photoshop or other editing software to make sure that everything's cropped out of your photo and it's nice and neat and tidy. Similarly, if it's a paper portfolio, you need to be mounting your work really, really clearly and neatly, using guillotines to get all your corners nice and neat, and, you know, looking at the layout of your page to make sure all the things work well on there. because you don't need to buy an expensive portfolio if you're doing a paper portfolio. Literally mounting onto cartridge paper, and the images you're putting on, just put a little roll of masking tape at each corner to stick down your pieces of work. That's all that you need. So yeah, you don't need to invest a lot of money. You just need to make it look high quality, like you care about your work.
Great, there's some fab tips there. Thank you. Most of your courses do ask the applicant to submit a portfolio. Do any of your courses also require an interview? If so, again, how do you recommend you prepare for this, and what do your interviews tend to look like?
So for this year's intake, if you're beginning with us for September 2021, I'm speaking about, if you're applying for foundation or a BA honours undergraduate degree with us, there is no interview process for this academic year. It has been suspended. We've had a change of admissions just for this year because of the ongoing COVID crisis. So what it would look like if you're applying to Leeds Arts University for those courses I described is that you do your UCAS application if it's a BA honours, or you'd apply directly to us if it's foundation. Make sure your personal statement is in very, very high quality, because we need to make, that's what we're really selecting you on this year. And once you've passed all of the criteria at that stage, you'll be asked to submit 3 images of your work digitally. So essentially your samples of work, your portfolio for Leeds Arts is 3 images. The question asks, will there ever be an interview? So normally in other years, up until this 1 year, we've always had face-to-face interviews for our courses, except for foundation. So, you know, we hope that we can go back to that model in future. But if you're putting your application this year, it's really important to know that it's actually your personal statement that's going to be the thing that we're especially looking for. So do feel you need, if you need to contact us, get in touch with our admissions team if you want to talk about that further.
That's really useful to know. So yes, as you said, the emphasis this year is going to be on the personal statement and, of course, the portfolio as well. So that's great to know for anybody listening right now who has applied to you or who is going to be applying to you. But in future years, there is that additional interview requirement as well. So in terms of kind of getting prepared for the application, making yourself stand out, everything, you know, we've kind of drawn on so far, will the university be looking for any additional experience outside of your studies?
To be fair, the application process asks for a personal statement, but within that personal statement, you can very well put down any experiences that you like. We are not insisting that you have to have any experience outside of our entry requirements. However, if you have been doing extra things, as I previously described, that's really brilliant. So, you know, you might have been able to take part in some activities that are creative activities. You might be going to a club. You might make art in your own time. And this is a thing that I often have a conversation with students who are like, well, I designed this t-shirt, or I made a poster for a friend's band. Does that count? And it's like, yes, of course it does. So, you know, drop in any things that are creative that, you know, show who you are, definitely. But overall, you know, we're not expecting lots of things. And for this particular year, we do know that people have been, you know, less likely to access cultural activities because of things like the lockdowns. So, you know, just make the experience that you have got really work for you. I guess the last top tip, though, is that there's loads and loads of things online happening. So if you've still got time now, so why don't you go and have a look at some galleries or museums and see if there's any things you can get involved with or view, just to give you more things to talk about on your personal statement, or just to give you a bit more experience.
Thanks, Jenny. Again, that's really great to know. Like you said, there's loads of online stuff that you can get involved with at the moment, but I think it's probably very reassuring for our listeners to hear that you are understanding of the situation at the moment, and that if they meet those requirements as advertised on your website, then you know that is what you're looking for. So thank you. It's been really great to talk to you today. It's been really useful. Can I ask before you go what your favourite meal was at university, please?
Okay, this is obviously the most important question. So when I first went to university, I met a lady who's still my best friend, and we decided that we should probably go to the shop together to get some food in, which was a pretty new experience for me because I wasn't very good at looking after myself. So we went to the shop and I bought a bag of chips, like, to put in the freezer, and I just thought that that would be all my meals for the rest of the year. So yeah, my favourite meal to make at university was probably chips, because it was literally the only thing that I knew how to make. So, I mean, obviously as time went on, I got much better at cooking. But yeah, I was one of those people who was not prepared. And a top tip would be prepared. Don't just go and buy a bag of frozen chips.
Brilliant. If nothing else has come from today, it is be prepared with knowing how to cook before you go to university. So thank you so much, Jenny. It's been great to talk to you. Thank you to our earlier guest, Rob, from Leeds Beckett University. I hope that all of our listeners have found this episode useful, whether that be those of you who are interviewing for a health-related course, or whether that be those of you who are preparing to go onto an arts course with an interview or a portfolio. I really hope that today has helped to answer some of your questions. We'll be moving on next to our top tips. So the overarching top tip for today's episode, as with most things when it comes to applying for university, is to be prepared. So when it comes to preparing for health-related courses and their interview process, they want you to demonstrate a good knowledge of the subject and of the course, as well as the career and the sector. Make sure you've done your preparation, you've done your research, and you have a good understanding of what you're going to be learning and how that's going to relate to you working in that field. They're also going to want to see you demonstrating the attributes that they're looking for, not only in a student, but also in an employee of the NHS. And these attributes are normally detailed on the university's website, so you can read over these and prepare examples as much as you can in advance. When it comes to preparing for art-related courses and for their application and interview and portfolio process, again, preparation is required, but what they want to see is time and effort. Time and effort which has gone into your personal statement, but also into the samples of work that you're submitting to the university to review. So they want to see a real understanding of who you are, the type of art that you create, the type of artist that you want to be. And they also want to see this demonstrated in a concise, well thought out way. So as Jenny mentioned in her answer, just making sure, for example, that things are stuck down properly and that you've really thought about presentation and put that extra effort in to impress whoever is reviewing your work.
That's it for this episode. If you want to keep connected in the meantime, follow us on our Instagram account at @LCCUniConnect and join us in the new year when we'll be talking to students about their first term at university and hearing all the gossip. Take care.